Good evening, Brother Theo, and brothers and sisters in the Dharma. To all those from PJ, welcome. And tonight's topic, it's the seven factors of awakening or enlightenment. And this is part of the 37 factors of enlightenment. Now, these seven factors of enlightenment was delivered by the Buddha in when the Buddha met Moggallana, and also the other one is Mahakashyapa, when they were sick. So the Buddha inquired of their situation, and then the Buddha recited this Bodhanga, Kashyapa, Mahakashyapa Bodhanga, and also this Moggallana Bodhanga. So these seven factors of enlightenment were recited by the Buddha to Maha Moggallana and to Maha Kashyapa, after listening to which they recovered from their respective sicknesses. And also the third sutra on these seven factors of enlightenment is known as the Chunda Bodhanga Sutta. And that is when the Buddha himself was sick. And therefore, when Chunda went to see the Buddha and inquired of the Buddha's condition, so Chunda recited the same seven factors of enlightenment, the Bodhanga Sutta, and the Buddha recovered from that. So you can see that the effect of these seven factors of enlightenment, when we pay attention to it, and in this sutras, the Buddha had said that if these seven factors of enlightenment, when they are well developed, fully developed, it leads to enlightenment. So tonight, these seven factors of enlightenment forming an integral part of this enlightenment, Brother Theo will share with us on this aspect. And as usual, let us now take refuge and observe the precept before I pass over the mic to Brother Theo. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami, Dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangham saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Kamesu micchachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Sura me raya maja pama datana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu. sadhu, sadhu.
Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So once again, we meet. This is the month of July. Today is the 14th July, 2017. So our tonight's topic is a continuation from the entire of this year's topic. I remember when Pratigan wrote to me, he mentioned about the 37 factors of enlightenment. So we are going through the entire 37 factors of enlightenment. We have covered quite a few, I think, earlier on. I cannot remember how many. Regan, you can remember how many? How written? Yeah, you have to read out. I remember the first one is the four foundation of mindfulness there. Yeah? Then after that, we touch on the four right effort, supreme effort. Then we cover the four bases of success or accomplishment. Then, any else? Anything else? Five spiritual faculty, yes. So, followed by today, seven factors of enlightenment. So, tonight our topic is on this seven factors of enlightenment. So he has chosen this topic because it is a topic that is seldom understood. And this topic is very important. You can just pay attention, then listen attentively, then I will explain to you. Because as a talk, on one specific topic, I can elaborate on it. Otherwise, there is not much time for any explanation. So the title is phrased in such a way, the importance of these seven factors of enlightenment, or in Pali, they call it Satta Bhujanga. Satta is seven. Bhujanga are the enlightenment factors. As an integral part of cultivation, leading towards the awakening or realization of Nibbana or enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is the title. Before we go into this title, what I need you to understand is the 37 factors of enlightenment, they are all related. And the Buddha has grouped them together and call them enlightenment factors is because all these 37, they can lead to enlightenment. But the complete understanding is, before you have the Dhamma understanding, all these enlightenment factors that he has listed is useful. But after you encounter the Buddha Dhamma, then the teaching will show to you the real factors of enlightenment. The real factors of enlightenment under his essential Dhamma teaching as spoken by Sakyamuni Buddha are these seven factors of enlightenment, Satta Bhujanga. And just now in the introduction, Brother Tay is very good because this sutta is famous for helping all the monks who are sick to recover from their bodily condition. And the reason for it is, as mentioned by Rate, I think there are three sutta at least that talk about this Bhujanga thing. First is, if I may recall what you say, I just assume it's correct. Well, I heard of it before too. but I cannot remember the name. So luckily you mentioned Mahakasapa Bhujanga, the sutta. Then you have the Mahamangalana Bhujanga Sutta. Then the other one is Chunda, Chunda Bhujanga Sutta. So all these sutta, how come it has such power to allow the monk to recover from their sickness? What is disease? What is sickness? It is a bodily condition that the human form has to go through. We are this physical body made of element, go the way of nature. Like the Buddha said, we have to reflect, contemplate every day. The five daily contemplation, the first three. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, finally. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So that reflection is very important. But that reflection can only give you some form of understanding. Then you know how to deal with it. But it doesn't make your mind state beautiful. Do you understand? Yeah? That's why the Buddha has to ask them to reflect on the seven factors of enlightenment. And I will write down the seven factors of enlightenment so that you all can understand. Okay, as a revision, what is the first factor of enlightenment? Sati is mindfulness, or mindfulness. Second one? Yes, Dhamma investigation. Dhamma investigation, or Vichaya. Third one is what? Virya, yes. Virya is spiritual zeal. Spiritual zeal. Or spiritual tenacity. To go this way. Fourth one is piti, which is meditative joy. Or spiritual joy. Spiritual or meditative? Meditative calmness or joy. Sometimes they use the word rapture. Then the fifth one is paucity. What is paucity? What is paucity? Tranquility of mind. Tranquility or stillness of mind. Or stillness of mind. Then the sixth one is what? Sixth one is samadhi, yes. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind. Collected and unwavering mind. And unwavering. Unwavering. Free mind. It has to be a free mind. It cannot be a conditioned state. It cannot be in concentration. Then the last one is upeka or equanimity. The spelling, I think, is wrong. Double P or what? Double P, UPP, upeka, which is equanimity of mind. Okay, if you look at these seven factors of enlightenment, when the Buddha asked them to reflect on the Satabhujanga, which is the seven factors of enlightenment, what will happen to their mind? Satabhujangas. I don't know how to spell. How to spell? Double J, then H, huh? Double J, H, A,什么？Double J, A, H, A, N, G, A. Okay. Sattva Bhujangas. So when they ask the monk who is sick to reflect on the seven factors of enlightenment, then it's not just the understanding part. It is the mind state that is so extraordinary. Because these are enlightenment factors that can bring about enlightenment. So when they recollect, because they are already enlightened, arahant, they will have this factor of enlightenment. So the moment they recollect all this factor of enlightenment, especially sati, their mind will be very different. Their mind will enter what they call silent. The silent mind, before the arising of thought, will arise. Then they will be in the state of sati, just aware. And this is a mind state that is very beautiful. You can stay aware, still, quiet. Your mind can detach from the form. Whatever sickness you experience is not going to affect the consciousness. That's why you have to be completely silent without thought. Without thought means no word, no concept, no idea, nothing. No movement, sankara, no movement. So when there is nothing to condition whatever to arise, there is no feeling, nothing. Then because there is no feeling, there is no craving, like or dislike. Even your whatever uncomfortable tactile feeling when you are sick, like all those bodily pain, bodily condition that are very difficult to endure when you are sick, like fever and all those things. Even certain type of very chronic type of bodily sensation or reaction that comes through the sickness or the disease. Then sometimes it can be through the nerve. Then it can be from the organ that affect the whole of the physical body's metabolism. Whatever it is, as long as the factors of enlightenment is there, it will calm down. Then the second factor of enlightenment is Dhamma Vichaya, Dhamma investigation. They will know how to investigate into all this Dhamma and develop the understanding where they are already enlightened, arahant, those three particular monks that were mentioned in the sutta. Then, of course, virya, the spiritual zeal, will bring forth that energy within them to start to arise. And this is what enlightenment factor is all about. It will drive you to cultivate, to develop the understanding. That's why this is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate, to go this way, to develop the understanding. So this will help them to recover. Then when they do this, they will experience piti. Then, of course, if they want to experience sukha, it will be there. But sukha is not an enlightenment factor. They will feel very blissful. Then finally, the mind completely transforms into stillness. We call it paucity. Double S or single S? Double S. Never mind. You all go back and check. So paucity is tranquility, stillness, no movement at all. So which means when you are in sati, you are more or less in that state. But when you are in paucity, it's completely different. When you are in paucity, your mind is in sati. Understand that? Your whole of the mind is in sati. Everything that the mind do, at the moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or movement, or thought process, it's all in sati. That's why all of your seeing is in sati, hearing is in sati. Means that sati has stabilized. And it has become tranquility, stillness, no movement at all. But it's fully aware. And this is a very powerful state. This is the meditative mind. This is the silent mind. Before the arising of thought, before the movement and all things. But then if you stabilize this capacity until it becomes very stable, until it becomes a part of you, until you are able to have this stability of capacity, very stable in the midst of life, means your mind enters another enlightenment factor state of samadhi. Samadhi is a very, very beautiful state where this samadhi will make your mind unwavering and collected. Whatever sense experience that come and haunt you or disturb you or affect you, even the sickness or whatever bad news and other things, it will not cause the mind to waver. That's why it's the unwavering and collected mind. But it must be a free mind. Yeah? I miss out the word here, sorry. It must not be in energy field, concentration. But there's another type of samadhi, which they call samatha. That one is not born of a free mind. That one is born of a concentrated mind, focused mind, or mind in absorption. Then when there is already the wisdom born of the direct seeing, when you are in the state of sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. The mind that is silent in paucity, tranquility and stillness, and collected and unwavering, can awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, or empty nature existence. And this is the wisdom that will penetrate and allow the mind to be completely different. So these three can lead to the direct seeing. Without words, without thought. Direct seeing with the true mind, the silent mind. And this one can lead to awakening. Awakening, huh? Double N or single N. Never mind, leave it. Huh? So this one is wisdom. Through the direct seeing, you will awaken. And you will develop the wisdom. And when the wisdom is there, this upekha or equanimity factor enlightenment will arise. This one is born of wisdom. Another type of upekha when they are in the fourth jhana. That one is not the real enlightenment factor. That one is a conditioned state of mind. That one also equanimous mind is not affected at all. But when you are in the fourth jhana, you relinquish all the what they call out of the five jhanic factors. The first four you completely relinquish. And you are in one pointedness. All the thoughts are queued into one point. Cannot move. That's why nothing can disturb it. Also upekha. But it's not the real enlightenment factor. The real enlightenment factor is when wisdom arises. Then this wisdom brings about this enlightenment factor, which is upekha. The difference being, like I have shared with you all, in the earlier talk, I think, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. When I explained the difference between samatha and vipassana meditation, remember? We have a transcript book on it too. You go back and read the book, you will understand. Those who do energy field, thought-based meditation, jhana, absorption, concentration, their upekha can make them very, very still, like enlightened. It's like they are enlightened. But the only problem is when they get old, as they age, as their bodily condition weaken, because they don't have the wisdom. They don't have this wisdom. When they are incapable of developing the same energy to maintain the concentration, they will lose their ability to have jhana. And if they have psychic, they will lose their psychic too. And that time, confusion arises. Their mind becomes suddenly confused, affected. How come completely different? They can't be in the state of upekha anymore. There is fear. Fear of many things, because they still attached to the form and all things. And their mind state is different. But the real upekha, born of wisdom, you don't need concentration, you don't need jhana, you don't need absorption, you don't need anything to maintain the calmness, the peacefulness, the upekha state. We have that wisdom free and liberate the mind. That's the main difference. Can follow? Yeah. And this is a very important difference. A lot of people don't understand. Yeah. So this is the first part that I want to share. Why the seven factor of enlightenment, when you recall them, your mind becomes very different. You not only have the understanding, but your mind state, you develop all this enlightenment mind state, that's why you can cause them to recover from their sickness or disease. Mm. So this is just the first part of sharing, because Brother Tay mentioned that three Bhujanga Sutta, that's why the condition arise, so I share this with you. And then now I go into the main topic proper. The cultivation of these seven factors of enlightenment is not what you think. Because now I have more time, I can explain to you. Yeah. I have to start from the 37 factors of enlightenment. Yeah? Then I come back to this. Then the picture will be clearer. The other thing that I want to mention is, when you are doing your cultivation, or you may call it a practice or whatever, the words, if you understand, there is no difference. But if you don't understand, there is a big difference. Your practice is repetitive. You keep on practicing. Cultivation is not rigid. You don't practice. You cultivate to develop the wisdom. So there is a big difference. But whatever it is, we are not here to argue over words. They are not important. The important thing is the understanding behind. So if you were to develop your so-called meditation, your cultivation, and let's say you have done it for many years, some maybe 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, even 40 years, the best check is what? What is the best check? Whether you have done it correctly or not. What is the best check? The answer is here. What is the best check? If after you meditate for so long, you just check. Do you have any of this enlightenment factor? If you don't have any of this enlightenment factor and you say you have progress, and you say your meditation is fantastic, you can see light, you can see nimitta, you can see your past life, you can see everything, except you don't have the understanding of the seven factors of enlightenment. That is not the enlightenment that the Buddha is talking about. But this is the core enlightenment factor within the essential Dhamma taught by the Buddha. The 37 factors, there are a lot non-Dhamma things. Especially that day when I share with you the four bases of success or the four accomplishments. You call it the four bases of accomplishment. Yeah. That one is for mundane people who don't have the understanding of the Dhamma to initially initiate the search, the interest to develop this meditation. So coming back to the 37 factors of enlightenment, we quickly go through. Yeah? What are these 37 factors of enlightenment? Huh? Of enlightenment. Yeah. What are they? First one is what? Four foundation. Four foundation of mindfulness. Then? Of mindfulness. Then? Four right effort. Okay. Four right effort. I have to keep it short. Okay. Then? Third one is what? Four bases of success. Very good. Four bases of success. So this one we have gone through. So this one you can remember. Chanda and what? Chanda and what? Virya. Then? Citta. Then? Vimamsa. Virya, you know, spiritual zeal. Citta is your thought. You apply your thought. Your willpower. Then this one is, they call it investigation too. But this is not Dhamma investigation. This is just investigation. That's why it's not Dhamma Vichaya. It's called Vimamsa. Means, when you apply the thought, the will, to be successful in certain things, then you try this, you try that, you try many things, then you find out. It's like what is the word here? It's not really investigating it. You find out which one works, which one doesn't work. You understand? Like a checklist. But there is a process that goes through. Like you screen them. You screen them. Understand? You screen what is successful, what is useful, helpful, that can make you progress and develop the whatever you want to do. So this chanda is passion. Passion. Your love to do it. Something that you like to do. You must have passion. Something that interests you. Then you will go into it. Like you want to search for truth. In search of truth. To realize the truth. To gain enlightenment. So this one will drive you. You must have the passion, the Buddha said. The passion is not a desire. Understand? You must have that interest. That keenness to do. To develop it. Yeah. Then to do this, you need virya to drive you. Understand? But virya here, although the same word is used, spiritual zeal, but in the enlightenment factor, it is different. Here, the spiritual zeal is driven by what? Driven by what? When you contemplate on the great virtue of the Buddha. When you come to understand who the Buddha is, how unique and special a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. You can follow. That's why you will develop the faith in him. You will have a lot of respect and gratitude towards him. Then you come to realize that his teaching is so powerful. It can bring about enlightenment here and now. It can transform you completely, character-wise, personality-wise, into an enlightened being. It can liberate your mind to be free of all suffering. Then you realize this is very important to you, to your life. That's why you will go all out to develop this spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate his teaching, to go into it. But here, under the four bases of success, you develop a type of zeal which is not spiritual, understand? Because you can, maybe your passion is you want to be a famous musician or a famous artist or a famous athlete. Then you work towards it, understand? So this virya that drives you is not a spiritual zeal. It's just a tenacity, an energy that drives you. Because this is what you want. And you see the importance of it. Just like you see the importance of this Dhamma. But that one is spiritual understanding. This one is for worldly thing. Mainly worldly thing. Yeah. But of course, it can also finally lead you to the search for truth, you will end up searching the Dhamma. So what I want you to understand is, after this, you got the five spiritual faculties. And this one is repeated twice. The second one is five spiritual faculty as power. Balas. So this one is repeated twice. So what you need to understand is, the initial cultivation, you have to develop this five spiritual faculty. Because this is spiritual faculty that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. That's why the teaching actually starts from here, where you have the Dhamma, where you go into the essential teaching. But before you have the Dhamma, let's say you are not from the Buddhist faith, you have to start here. This is for lay people, for mundane thing. Start here. And these are for mundane success. For mainly mundane success. Mundane success. Then after that, when you encounter the Buddha Dhamma, you go for this. That's why this five spiritual faculty will enable you to understand spiritual teaching. So you're supposed to develop, the first one is Sadda, which is faith in the Buddha and his teaching. That's why this Sadda will lead to Virya, spiritual zeal. And then Sati come in. Yeah. This is the link I want to link you. When you have the faith in the Buddha and his teaching through understanding how unique and special a being he is, he is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. Then this will drive you, because you see the importance of this teaching. There is nothing more important than this. If you don't understand his teaching, you suffer, you become miserable, you become afflicted. You will lead a heedless life, leading to downfall. Your karmic nature will go down. You will cease to have good life. Yeah. But when you have the Dhamma, have the faith, when you go all out and cultivate his teaching, you will become beautiful. Your spiritual faculty will enable you to understand his teaching. Then when you understand his teaching, you understand life. You know how to live life. Because you know the secret of life, the Four Noble Truths. Then you will know how to develop very beautiful karmic nature, spiritual nature, to enable you to have the good life. And this is what the teaching is all about. So this will drive you to cultivate. And the next spiritual faculty is Sati. That's why Sati is the first enlightenment factor. This is where you begin. Then from Sati, it will accumulate into Samadhi. But in the five spiritual faculty, the Buddha shortcut all this, bypass all this, because he described them under this seven factors of enlightenment. Then finally, with Sati and Samadhi, you will realize Panya, which is wisdom, the final enlightenment, spiritual faculty. Is it clear? Yeah? Yeah. So, this is just explaining only. I haven't got into the cultivation. No. But I need you to understand this. Otherwise, you cannot go into the cultivation. Then after that, number six is what? Yeah? Number six is what? Today's topic. Seven factors of enlightenment. Enlightenment. Then, last one is what? Last one is what? Noble Eightfold Path. So you add 8, 7, 15, 20, 25, 29, 33, 37. That's how the 37 factors come about. So now I will move on to the cultivation part. After you have the faith, Sadda Virya, it drives you to cultivate. You have to develop the first factor of enlightenment. Without this, you cannot move. Without this, you are dead. Whatever meditation you do, how fantastic You follow this method, this teacher, that teacher. Not important. If you fail to understand the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha, how cultivation is to be developed, you become gullible. You are wasting your time. Yeah, you focus on the wrong thing. You don't cultivate the right enlightenment factor. You don't know how to start. That's why in the teaching, the Buddha said, first thing, Dhammapada verse on heedfulness, Apamada Vaga. What is verse 21? Huh? What is verse 21? I need a drink. Huh? What is verse Dhammapada verse 21? Nobody recall. Then how are you going to cultivate? Dhammapada verse 21 on Appamada. Nobody can recall. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Very, very clear. If you are heedless, you are as if dead. If you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. So what is heedfulness? What is heedfulness? What is heedfulness? You have to refer to Dhammapada verse 23. What did the Buddha say under Dhammapada verse 23? The constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, which is Nibbana, the supreme born-free enlightenment. So what is constantly meditative, ever mindful? Ever mindful. Then, plus, constantly meditative. If you have these two, then you are heedful. And the moment you are heedful, you are home. The heedful never die. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. No need to do all the other thing. Understand? Huh? How to be ever mindful? First, you must, before you ever mindful, you must be, you have to be mindful first, isn't it? Correct or not? Otherwise, how can you be ever mindful? So, to be mindful, you have to train your mind. You have to understand how to be mindful, how to develop this sati or mindfulness, which is sati. And you have to stabilize this sati. Then only it can become ever mindful. That's why all of meditation start with this training. Training of the mind to be ever mindful. You have to stabilize that sati. Then constantly meditating here is constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah, this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Yeah, the Buddha said under the fourth noble truth, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of what? All suffering. You meditate for what? To realize enlightenment, to end all suffering. That's why this is the meditation. So, first thing first, you have to be mindful. Then, develop it further, stabilize it. Then, stabilize it to be ever mindful. To be ever mindful. If you cannot do this, you cannot even start. The Buddha make it very clear. That's why all of meditation is not about focusing, concentrating, and developing energy field. It's just to have a silent mind, in sati, aware. That's why the Buddha teaches the four foundations of mindfulness. Aware of what? Aware of kaya, physical body. Whatever within the physical body. It can be your breathing. It can be your rising and falling, your heartbeat, or whatever that is within your kaya. Your four posture. Your whatever connecting activity and posture. And that is the first foundation. You can even contemplate and reflect and develop mindfulness on the four elements, the 32 parts. The 9 stages of 7-3 decomposition. The daily mindfulness. These are all in the teaching of kaya nupassana. Then you move on to vedana nupassana. You develop mindfulness on your feeling. Then you develop mindfulness on your thought process. Chitta nupassana, the content of consciousness. Then you develop mindfulness on dhamma. Dhamma nupassana. Dhamma are the essential teaching, the truth. That's why the first category of dhamma is the 5 mental hindrance. You must see your own mental hindrance. When you see your own mental hindrance, means you already knew your spiritual faculty is not there. If your spiritual faculty is there, your mental hindrance will not be there. That's why in the teaching, the Buddha, under Dhammanupassana, first category of cultivation, he said you must have mindfulness to see the 5 mental hindrance, which is your sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, your restlessness of mind, your heedless thinking mind. And finally, the last one is when you have doubt. So these are the 5 mental hindrances. And the Buddha said, when you are aware, what happened? You will understand through Dhamma investigation, which is the second factor of enlightenment, how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Because before the mental hindrance arise, you don't have. Then you continue to be aware, silent, just in the meditative state, then you will see how it ceases. Because when you don't give it any more thinking, thought energy, mental energy, we are craving, we are attachment, we are rejecting it, which are the 2 evil roots of greed and hatred, or the first 2. Mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will, your reaction to sense experience. So all this, when you are aware, you can see them. They arise because of your wrong view, your delusion, your views, your opinion, your conditioning that cause you to react because you attach to good state, you reject negative state. That's essential desire means good sense experience you want, you attach. Negative sense experience, you got envy, jealousy, ill will, dislike, unpleasant sense. That's why your mind state is not in equanimity. You stir, you react. That's how essential desire and ill will, the first 2 mental hindrance, keep on arising in your daily life. When you see something, hear something, smell something, taste, tactile feel or think, your mind react and stir. Why? Because you lack the spiritual faculty, you lack samadhi, you lack wisdom, you lack understanding, you lack right view. That's why you cannot deal with defilement. All the theory they teach you, I can tell you, you are wasting your time using your thought to analyze knowledge to, they call it, rationalize, or knowledge to try to overcome it. It's not going to awaken you. Without wisdom, defilement cannot be defeated. Because defilement comes from your self-delusion, sakayaditi, attachment to the 5 aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's real, it's you. Clinging to all the phenomenal world that you perceive through your perception, again, it's part of the 5 aggregate of form and mind. And attachment, self-delusion, is born of ignorance. Ignorance means ignorant of the truth, not understanding what truth is. You don't know who you are, what you are. That's why it's very difficult for you all to penetrate. So coming back to the cultivation, how do you develop sati? You have to understand. You go back and listen to the other talk that I explained early on. What is sati? You call it mindfulness. mind in fullness. Correct? Where is derived from the word, isn't it? But when your mind is full of thought, is that mindfulness? Is that mindfulness? How come no response? When you are full of thought, means you are heedless, thinking, understand or not? How can it be mindfulness? Then what is mindfulness? You never inquire. When the mind is in fullness without thought, that is sati. That's why sati is awareness before the thought, before the knowing, before the perception, before the arising of aggregate of mind. And you understand that, then sati becomes very easy. The moment I am without thought, I already aware. Why must I practice to be aware? Do you understand? Who practice? The thought that is actively noting is practicing. And when the thought is active, how can you be in sati? And you still don't see this until today, most of you. Of course, there are some who realize that and already understood. Then they know how to cultivate. They just relax silent. Meditation is not to do anything, not to stir the mind. Like the Buddha said, our original state of mind before the stirring, before delusion, before ignorance, is already the stillness, the silence, the true mind is without thought, without anything inside there, just aware, just that nature. Why can't you understand that? The problem with human beings is they have lived their lives so heedlessly that the mental hindrance is so strong, so powerful, has become habitual. Why? Because you never deal with the opposite five spiritual faculty. You never train it until it becomes power, balance. That's why you cannot cope with defilement. The mental hindrance, they are called hindrance, where it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. The moment you have the five spiritual faculty, what happened to you? When you have sada, you are very calm, very composed, because your faith is very strong. No more doubt. The mental hindrance of doubt is gone. When you have virya, spiritual zeal will keep you awake, attentive, seriously meditating and cultivating. You won't be sleepy. Sloth and torpor is gone. Then when there is sati, just aware without thought, there is no sensual desire and evil, no like and no dislike, it's just aware. Then you experience pity. Then when you realize pity, pasati, you develop the stability of it, it becomes samadhi. So all these spiritual faculty will allow you to see things as they are and develop wisdom. That's why with the spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrances cease to be. Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor. Restlessness of mind can only come about when there is no sati, no samadhi. That's why your mind is restless, think a lot. And why is it restless? Why is it think a lot? Well, it has mental hindrance. It has fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. That's why when you have fear, worry, and anxiety, you become restless. You become heedless. You think a lot. You panic. Fear, worry, anxiety engulf you. That's the reason why you cannot be peaceful. Because you lack the five spiritual faculty and you never cultivate that. If you cultivate that, it will also include the cultivation of sati leading to samadhi, which is also part of the seven factor of enlightenment. That's why the Buddha said you must train your mind and develop sati. If sati is not there, you are dead. Because everything requires sati. To keep precept, you need sati, mindfulness, to be aware of your mental intention. And you need to know what constitutes evil, the three evil roots. And to be able to do the four foundations of mindfulness, you need mindfulness. Then you need to be aware of all those dhamma. That's why without sati, you cannot start, you cannot move. Then if you want to investigate the Buddha's teaching, you need sati, because without sati, you cannot investigate. People's problem is they use thought to investigate through knowledge. That's why you cannot awaken. When you investigate through Dhamma, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach, like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Since mind is so important, what must you do? You must take care of mind. So how to take care of mind? Train it to be aware so that you become heedful, mindful. So Dhammapada was once said, when you train your mind, that one is verse 2. When you train your mind and you develop heedfulness, you will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then what happened? Happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. That's how you develop the cultivation. To be happy, you have to be heedful, mindful. To arise the action, speech, and thought that is wholesome. Free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you are heedless, you couldn't be careless. You don't train your mind. You let the mind go wild and do what it likes. Then you end up with all the problem, the complication, the mental hindrance that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. Then you have all the suffering related to the mental hindrance. So what happened? Dhammapada was one who follow you. Because you don't take care of mind, you don't train, it will lead to suffering. He said you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that will condition your evil karma, that will lead to coming negativity, downfall. Then suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the cart. And this is very clearly explained in the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. It's a twin verse. Your life, the Buddha said, you hold the key to your own life destiny. That's why to be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. Choose wisely. Choose to be happy. Choose to be heedful. Train your mind. Develop mindfulness. Make it ever mindful. Stabilize it. Then cultivate the Dhamma, Noble Eightfold Path. Then you will be able to have joy and happiness in your life. Put it into practice. Cultivate it and put it into practice. Pass it. Develop this cultivation of Dhamma Vichara. Then when you realize it, stand up to investigation, what happened to your mind? What happened to your mind? There is so much joy in there. Because you realize the Buddha is so wise. Even like the Four Noble Truths, Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, you can put it to test. All his essential Dhamma, the three evil roots, whether they are really evil, lead to evil. Then the five spiritual faculties, whether they really lead to the understanding of the spiritual teaching. You can find out yourself, you can investigate all this. And the whole teaching is so clear. So when it stands up to investigation, your faith is strengthened. When your faith is strengthened, it becomes unshakable, ballast. Then this will drive the virya non-stop. It also becomes power. Then you will go all out to cultivate. That's why when you do that, the third factor of enlightenment, this virya become power. Then only is a factor of enlightenment. If it has not become power, it's not a factor of enlightenment as yet, in the literary sense. So this one must become power. Then when it drives you non-stop to cultivate, what will happen to you? You will progress very well because you understand the teaching. Then you will experience this piti. Because when your sati is there, piti will arise. When you are aware, mindful, without thought, you will experience piti. And this is easily realized or achieved. You don't have to go to retreat, meditation, and do all those funny things. I'm not discouraging you. You need to go, you better go. Because there are a lot of people who need to go. Because without that, they say, society, there is no way you can meditate. And a lot of, even my Kayamita told me, brother, your house different. No? When I come, I can meditate very well. I have a Tuesday class and all that. Then Thursday class, also people tell me, say, at home cannot. Why? Is there any different? Because you have not stabilized all this. That's why you need the way place. Because my house, the Tuesday class and the Thursday class, we receive these images that come. The Buddha Rupang, the Kuan Yin Rupang, and all the other Rupang. They just come by themselves. My nature doesn't go for all these things. But because it comes with condition. And before that, I already realized, because everything I share, this nature's energy, the wisdom energy, cannot be stored anywhere. Unless you have this crystal, or this, what they call, Buddha Rupang, that has the density, the crystal inside, like marble, or jade, or whatever. Then you will store. Then we pay respect, we did our classes. That's why our Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, and even your Kuan Yin here is fully charged. That's why you will feel it different when you are here. And all this wisdom energy, it will be stored. And you know how to meditate and develop sati. You can draw. You develop the faith. You can draw. You can connect. And your mind can be silent and still very fast. Because it's the sasana. All those great cultivators, their nature are still there. You only have the faith. Sada, virya, then develop sati. Without sati, you cannot tap. You cannot do anything. Without sati, it's like you don't have a container, anasana, or a cup to receive all this wisdom energy. Because it's a spiritual faculty that allows you to understand spiritual teaching. And this spiritual teaching, they arise from the silent mind, not through the thought. That's why you can only understand them when you have this sati, the silent mind. Can follow? That's why if you work on sati, when you do your puja, everything, you chant all those things, chant mindfully. Develop puja with mindfulness when you make the offering. Develop it with faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully. That's why you listen to all the talk. Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class. I start the puja. Why? It's to develop the spiritual faculty, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then we recall the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then you renew your precept. You take refuge. You pay respect. You develop mindfulness as you pay respect. Because your sadha, virya will drive you. And everything you do will be mindful. Then you listen to Dhamma. You straighten your view. Then you keep your whatever precept. You meditate. Then you rejoice. You share merit, transfer merit. Then you make offering, donation, and all those things. Then you provide service. All the 10 meritorious actions you do, then you invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish, be not with the wise, so that Nibbana can be realized sooner. All this is going to help you. The Kayamita Fund is going to help you. We do a lot of wholesomeness through the Kayamita Fund on your behalf. So all these are the causes and conditions for you to develop all this. Now I have to move on. After the Dhamma investigation take off, it stand out the investigation, your faith becomes unshakable, balanced. Then virya also becomes unshakable. Then you will keep on experiencing piti, leading to pasati, the tranquility of mind or stillness. Throughout the day, you're not only mindful, your mind is still, tranquil, without movement, fully aware, ever mindful, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That is what meditation is all about. Not what you think. See, walk, and do all those funny things without understanding. It doesn't mean that it won't give result. It will take a very long time. Because you don't know what you are doing. People say sit, you see. People say not, you know. People say walk, you walk. You don't know what you are doing in the name of meditation. You are not training your mind to be mindful, to be aware, and stabilize it to be ever mindful. That's why you cannot do it. That's why I say anapanasati, after you do, until the breathing becomes very subtle, still, no more breathing, don't go and do sitting touching. Forget about it. Silent completely. Then this pasati from sati, it will go down to pasati. Then it will become completely quiet, still, no thought. And that is not in concentration. It's a free mind. That's why you can be aware that way. And that is a real cultivation. Not all the doing actively with the thought. Because all your meditation, what they teach you is a lot of doing. And who is doing? The thought is doing. Doing what? The so-called meditation. The method, the technique. And you never understood all this. That's why you continue to be gullible. Continue to be the way you are. That's why you realize you never change. After the retreat come out, maximum, you're more peaceful, more calm for a while. 1 week, 2 weeks, after that, square one. You realize your anger is still there, your fear is still there, your restlessness mind is still there, your heedlessness is still there, your sensual desire, ill will, your mental illness are all there. You are seldom peaceful, aware, in sati. And that one is just a normal sati, you know. You keep on going, not here, not there, using your thought to be aware, you think that is sati. That is not sati. And if that is not sati, then what is sati? Sati is when body and mind moves at one. Sati, no thought. Just like the Buddha said, the daily mindfulness. Not until your daily mindfulness can stabilize, until you are ever mindful in the midst of life, very stable, until your sati become power, balas. The real meditation has yet to begin. You cannot develop four foundations of mindfulness without a stable sati. You cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path without a stable sati. You cannot investigate Dhamma without a stable sati. You cannot cultivate four foundations of mindfulness without a stable sati. And without sati, you are not heedful, and the heedful are as if dead. So everything points towards sati. And you don't want to understand what is sati and simply do thinking that that is sati. Using the thought, I can wish you luck. You can continue to do for many lives. This is serious. I'm not joking. I'm not just trying to panic you. Because we have the condition today, and I hope it's recorded, so that people can develop the understanding. With this, I will end my today's sharing. Yeah.
Any question from the floor?
The mic to Danny, yes.
Brutil, yeah. As I understand, the seven factors of enlightenment is actually a checklist for those who want to test or check whether they have attained the level of achievement or development. Mm. Is this correct?
It depends on how you understand the word of check. Check means, like I said just now, if you have developed the meditation, you want to check whether you have done it correctly or not, then that check is correct. But if you say to check your level of attainment, straight away you will go wrong. Because you are still looking at your level of attainment. There is nobody there. There is no level, there is no attainment in the strictest sense that you understand. Level is relative. Human beings want to talk about level. My level is higher than you. You cannot do that, understand? Now, wisdom is an understanding. The moment you understand. That's it. Finish. So, you don't talk about level. When you cultivate, develop the faith, sadha, virya, this is the form and mind developing the faith, understand? Now? Because the form and mind is the tool that come through karmic. This is karmically conditional for you to come to this world. And this is the form and mind that need to realize, awaken. And this one is not you. You have to understand. And this one, for it to awaken, it must have this enlightenment factor, especially sati, the silent mind, for you to realize your true mind. Because the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the heedless thinking mind, that is not your true mind. That's why the teaching points very clearly. That is your five aggregate or form and mind. They have the universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering. They are non-self and empty. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. Anatta Lakkhana Sutta said it very clearly. If it's self, it will not lead to suffering. If it's self, it will listen to you. Understand? Because it's not self, it tends towards suffering. It tends towards the law of nature. That's why this body goes towards the law of, follow the law of nature. So this body goes the way of nature. You cannot stop it because it's not you, it's the element. Then the mind is consciousness. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, no reality, not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's not you. But if they are not you, then how did it arise in you? That is meditation. That's why through the silent mind, you can be completely aware and that nature will understand. And when that nature understand and develop the wisdom, because it's connected to that form and mind have the wisdom. That's why you can say the form and mind is enlightened. That's why this enlightenment factor can make the form and mind enlightened. But that form and mind is not you. That is the understanding behind. So it's not about checking your cultivation, your level or what. It's a checklist to guide the form and mind to come to an understanding whether you have done it correctly or not. If you have done it correctly, the factor of enlightenment will arise. If you do all those energy field meditation, instead of sati, you got concentration. You got absorption, one-pointedness. You got all the jhanic factor. Of all the five jhanic factor, you apply thought, sustain thought. These are all thought-based. Then only piti is an enlightenment factor. Then after that, sukha is not an enlightenment factor. Ekakata, one-pointedness, is energy field. And you will know. If the enlightenment factor doesn't arise in you through a free mind in the midst of life, then it is not the teaching that the Buddha teach. But this enlightenment factor exists in the midst of life. Even when the monk is sick, they don't have to be in a meditative state to have them. They just recollect, then it will come back. Where they have experienced it before, they have understood what this thing is before. And this one need to rebuild the faith, the sadhavya. But when they are enlightened, they actually are not really concerned with the form. They no more attachment, nothing. But the Buddha knew, if your mind state can have the enlightenment factor, it can make you more what they call the condition of the form and mind can be better. But they already know this form and mind is not them. That's why they can endure. They can just let it be. But when there is condition for the enlightenment factor to arise, then they can make use of it. But it's not lasting, understand? After they go, he is not going to carry all this enlightenment factor, understand? But they already enlightened, arahant. And they know the form and mind is not real, not them. That's why they will endure. But when there is condition for the monks to come and talk to them and chant the Satta Bhujanga, they will feel good because there is this collective energy, collective consciousness. There is this collective gathering of Sangha members that can bring forth the faith and the joy and the recollection of the sense factor. Then they feel very good. Then they will recover. But after a while, the body is still a body. It will go the way of nature. But the funny thing that I was told is, I hope you all can confirm this. It seems this Satta Bhujanga has become a chanting during the wake. Is it true? In Sri Lanka, when people die, they chant this. Huh? No. No, sick one, of course, that's there. But I was told in Sri Lanka, when somebody die, the monk will chant this, Satta Bhujanga. I heard it chant many times. And he has become the chanting for the dead. I think it's for the non-human and the living one to understand. So they remind you to work hard on these seven factors of enlightenment.
Bertil,
yes.
Further to my question.
Yeah.
Because you hit me very hard when you asked the question. Out of the seven factors of enlightenment, do you have any of this? Do you experience any of this?
Yeah, that will wake you up. That will wake you up. Because you know why?
Yep.
If you don't have this understanding that I explained, chances are you only experience pity when you are in the retreat or having good meditation, slow walking and all those things. You will experience a time of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, spiritual rapture or bliss in a certain sense. Then sometimes you do energy field, you will experience sukha, the blissfulness and all those things. Then you will become very calm, but you don't have thought inside because all in one-pointedness, cube. All the other enlightenment factor missing. You cannot investigate the Dhamma. The one that they say they use to investigate the Dhamma is the thought is moving inside. Understand not? This is anicca. This is impermanent. This is suffering. There is chattering inside there, understand? As you do when I experience pain, pain, pain. Who is noting pain? And you verbalize that pain. No? And pain is what? Pain is what? Mental? Hindrance. It's a ill will. You dislike that feeling. Instead of doing the four foundations of mindfulness, Dhamma Nupassana, you are creating mental hindrance. The Buddha says you're supposed to be aware of this mental hindrance when they arrive, not to go and create it, understand? And when you create mental hindrance, means what? It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why when you know pain, 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 you create mental hindrance, how can you have sati? That's why you just endure the pain. Because feeling is just feeling. Like the Buddha said, this body of mind is of the nature to get sick. Sick can be a few times, you know. Like when you are sick, you also feel pain, isn't it? Terminal cancer and all those things. Then sometimes injury, also pain. Mental sickness is also a sickness, understand? Physical body sickness is also a sickness. Getting old, rheumatism, and all this backache, headache, a lot of ache. These are part of the sensation that arise. If there is a physical body with the condition, the consciousness trapped inside, this sensation, the mind will pick up. That is what mind is all about. Then through your wrong view, your conditioning, you react to it. That's why it becomes mental hindrance. But when you meditate, the Buddha said you're supposed to develop sati, mindful, to be aware of your mental movement. How you stir, how you react, how you create mental hindrance. Then according to Dhamma Nupassana, the Buddha said, when you are aware, you will come to be aware how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be because of your wrong view, your heedless thinking, your conditioning, your reaction of mind. Then when you start to analyze through the investigative part, when you're completely silent and don't do anything, just aware, don't labor, don't create mental hindrance, endure the so-called pain sensation, then you find out and you come back and tell me what will happen to your mind. You can endure it through silence without labeling it as pain. Tell yourself, this is the nature's condition. When I sit too long, if I cross my leg, if I don't know how to relax and develop sati, pain will arise. That's why you know how people overcome pain when you had a retreat. You're all yan. You know what is yan? Suppress it. Kangang ting. You sure die when I tell you. There are monks who collapse. They try to see through it. I heard of one, don't know, European monk who went to Burma and do the meditation. He gave a talk somewhere in BGF, the old center. He said he collapsed and fainted for 3 days. But he said after that he learned a lot of things. Well, that could be the case. I don't know. But why must you torture yourself? When you develop meditation, you are not there to torture yourself, understand? Why must you make yourself so miserable? Meditation is to train your mind to be peaceful, to be aware, to have all the enlightenment factor of piti, paucity, tranquility, stillness of mind, clarity of mind, mindfulness within. You are not experiencing all these things. You are forcing yourself through some other means to develop all this mind state. And these are all energy field, concentration. And you keep on repetitive, repeating that walking, repeating that sitting, without knowing what you are doing. Then you keep on suppressing all these things, your mental hindrance. You are not supposed to suppress. The Buddha said, the thought come, let it come. When you are not trained, the heedless mind will think. So let it arise. Arise means what? Silent, aware, observe all this, see all this, be mindful of all this. Then you come to realize their characteristics. They are of the nature to arise and pass away. And they are impermanent, not real. But you don't go and rationalize it through a thought, through a knowledge. You see it in the meditation. Then you will come to realize this thinking cannot stop because of wrong view, ignorant, delusion. Throughout the day, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile, feel something, you continuously react, create sensual desire, you will like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. If you continuously do that, what are you trying to do? It becomes habitual, understand that? That if throughout the day you habitually create sensual desire, you will, which is a mental hindrance, it will hinder you from becoming peaceful, entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness. That's why you can never meditate. And you need object of meditation, method and technique to make you peaceful. That's why you go and control the thought, force the thought not to think. You go into one-pointedness, energy field. Otherwise, you cannot deal with it. The Buddha never teach like that. The Buddha said, develop sati, anapanasati, mindfulness. Then you assist. The moment you are mindful, you cannot think. Then the Buddha said, to overcome the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrances, don't fight. Don't suppress, don't control, don't do anything. They are there because you lack the opposite five spiritual faculty. Focus on that, cultivate that. That is the meditation. But you all are not doing all this. You all think I like vipassana. You like the term vipassana. Lead to insight. That's why that greed, that gullible mind, chase after vipassana, jhana. Then after that they say, this teacher, arahant. Again, want to follow his method, his technique, without knowing what he's doing. Just receive some instruction. Just because the mind thinks he's an arahant. Or he is a very, very good cultivator. That's why the Buddha said, investigate into all this. Don't be gullible. Find out. Understand it yourself. Take your time. Don't rush. Then all this will be understood. It's not difficult. When there is sati, you can investigate all dhamma. You can understand everything. Okay? Sadhu, huh? Thank you so much for the good question. Yeah.
One more question, last one.
Maybe you let Tammy share her experience in Burma. I think that will be very useful for most people. Yeah? You were in Burma for 3 months or 6 months? 3.5, huh?
3.5 months.
Oh, very good. That center you went is good. It's a good center.
Yeah.
Finally, when you send me those things, I just check in the internet. It is not bad.
Yeah, it's very good.
You want to share something? I think it will help the others.
I'm not prepared.
No need to prepare. Spontaneously let it come out. Don't be shy. That is the real one.
Basically, the 3 months I was there is learning about sati.
Sadhu.
Yeah.
Very good.
For me, it's, I mean, like, after these 3 months, last week I just came back from SBS. This was at a 1 month retreat there.
Okay, okay.
So I kind of like continuous. Then when I was in Burma, I learned about sati.
Yeah.
And then what's the beneficial and beneficial? It's on like the vimansa.
Oh, vimansa. The theory part of investigation. Yeah.
Then I noticed that a lot of things I thought I can do, you know, to do it. Then I didn't really know about not to do, but I thought I'm not doing, but I'm doing.
Yeah, unknowingly, when you just have faith, sincere, then you just do. Don't try to know. Whatever that you try to know come from the thought. The thought cannot know. Whatever the thought knows is knowledge, is not wisdom. When you are silent, sincere, full of faith, sadha, virya, drive you and you cultivate, and when sati arises, you will understand things on your own. Your mind will awaken on its own. It will see a lot of things that you never see before, because you were, most of you are seldom mindful. Not to say ever mindful. Even to be mindful in the midst of life, you hardly have. I can tell you. Most of the time you are heedless. You are not with the moment. You cannot be with the moment. You are thoughting a lot. You are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. Running around doing your daily chores. A lot of thought go through your mind. Because daily mindfulness, if you don't develop it until it's very stable, your mind will always be like that. But when your mind has transformed and developed that ability to be mindful in the midst of life, and when you stabilize it through the daily mindfulness, you will be very, very surprised. Then that time you will come back and share with me, and you will rejoice. And you will even have a lot of faith in the Buddha and his teaching, because you realize this is the teaching. The mind has to be in that state of sati. That's why the 5 spiritual faculties, they are always there with you. Then only you can develop the cultivation to see and realize the 7 factors of enlightenment. And these are the factors of enlightenment that allow the form and mind to awaken. Well, without this factor of enlightenment, your mind cannot awaken. Do you know that finally when you hit this upekkha, paucity, enlightenment factor, what happened to you? This is the beginning of real transformation when you hit this. Means you have straightened your view. You have developed the wisdom. This is born of wisdom, upekkha, equanimity. Not born of energy field, concentrated mind. Because it's born of wisdom, you realize from then onward, all of your sense experience, you no longer react and stir. And because of your samadhi earlier on, this collectedness and unwavering free mind, you don't need it anymore. Because the wisdom take over. Understand? Understand? Because when there is wisdom, you don't need samadhi to allow you to see things as they are. Because you already seen it, awakened to it. That's why this wisdom will transform your life. Your mental hindrance cannot arise. No more. No more. Completely wipe off. Because this wisdom will free you. To understand? Nothing in this world can affect you anymore. Nothing. And this is what cultivation is all about. That's why when you haven't realized and gone through, you can never understand all this. It's only theory. You hear about it. But you never understood what it is. Because these words are just words. If you have not had the realization, it's just like I tell you, sugar is sweet. Eh? If you have not tasted sugar in coffee or in tea or in plain water, you can never understand what that sweetness means. You can only imagine. Oh, they told me very sweet, no? That mango very sweet. No? Let's say you haven't tasted mango. You haven't tasted the real sweet. You just imagine what that sweet is all about. Understand? Dhamma is the same. When you are not in sati, you don't know what is sati. But the moment you are in sati, it shows it to you. Wow, sati is like that. With the moment all the time without thought. Then you realize what they have been teaching is not what sati is supposed to be. But when you are in sati, there is no word. The mind and the form move as one. Specific phenomenal awareness. The awareness and the phenomenal move as one. No thought, nothing. That is what sati is all about. When you see whatever as it is, there is no perception, no concept, nothing. You just see pure perception. Just aware. Why can't you be just aware? Without thought. You can hardly do it. I got one classmate tell me, he said, you must be crazy without thought. He said, one split second without thought also I cannot. That is as serious as what people experience. Because they got a lot of mental problem. They got a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of phobia. Then they got what they call depressive mind state, depression. That's why they got panic attack and all those things. And these are serious suffering, mental suffering. And they don't know what to do. They go and see psychiatrist, see doctor, take all the medication. The anti-suppression pill, tranquilizer, and all those things. Then the hormone adjustment. Oh. This is what human beings do. Where they got no other way out. But you are lucky, you know the Dhamma, you don't need all these things. You develop the training of the mind, meditate. When sati is there, you can calm yourself down, make yourself peaceful, make yourself aware, silent. Then experience the tranquility, the stillness, the true mind. Then a lot of the Dhamma, essential Dhamma, you will understand. Then you will know how you function as a human being. The dependent origination, paticca samuppada, you see them all. The essential Dhamma, the three evil roots, the four noble truths, everything, you see them all. Then the mental hindrance. Then later on, mental hindrance no more, you see the spiritual faculties. Then you see them, how they become balanced, very stable. The five spiritual faculties become so stable. It's always with you, it has become a part of you, it can never go missing anymore. Because that nature has that understanding and is always there. And the transformation we did, a lot of things will happen. But most of you are not ready. We cannot talk about that. Because you haven't even touched it. How to go and share all this that is beyond all this. So take your time. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then focus on the training of the mind to be aware. Then from there, the enlightenment factor will come. When you really hit the point of sati, you, when I say you, means your form and mind will know. The form and mind that is experiencing the sati will know what sati is. Even when you do the bowing, you bow with the faith. Until one day, when you suddenly, the form and mind realize no one is bowing. Then just the awareness of that form, the movement, without thought. Then you will come to suddenly understood the form and mind. That is sati, not what people think. That's why silence your mind and just do. Train it. You train the mundane mind, where the true mind no need to train on. The mundane mind is the one that you need to train. Where the mental hindrance, the delusion, the wrong view. That's why you have to straighten your view. Develop wisdom. Then only it does not stir. Does not react. Does not stir, does not react means no sensual desire, no ill will. You are always at peace. When you are always at peace means what? You are always aware, silent, tranquil, still. There is clarity. There is this aware. The nature is always still. No movement at all. Whatever that move is the phenomenal world through the form and mind. No reality. Impermanent. Lead to suffering. Then why you want to hang on to it, cling on to it, grasp on to it, and create all this delusion? Leading to all the suffering. then you see clearly, they are all not what you think, empty, non-self. Okay? Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You should thank them, yeah? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, it's a very good talk, and hope all of you here have got at least the essence of it, and this will help us to correct our practice if there's any misconceptions or lack of understanding. So anyway, sadhu to you, Brother Teo, and I'd like to extend our token of appreciation for your kindness to come all the way and share the Dhamma knowledge with us.
I also rejoice with your condition, the wholesomeness. That's why there must be causes and conditions for anything to arise. So when we have this condition, a lot of things will manifest. There are a lot of wholesomeness will manifest. Even though it's a token of appreciation, when we receive, we rejoice. Then I offer back to Brother Chua because he provide me with the transport. Then Brother Chua also rejoice. You also rejoice. Then he offer back to your center. Again, you all get to rejoice. Economic wise, nothing has changed. The money go back to you. But economic activity, wholesomeness, goodness, a lot has been done. So you all should thank the organizer, Brother Gan especially, and Brother Te for the condition that arise. Because they are the one that came and invited. You should thank Brother Danny. He was the one that recommended Brother Gan to ask me to come here to share. Because last time I shared in his center, then after 2 or 3 months, they closed down, I think. So Brother Danny, Susan's brother, he's the main one. You all should thank him, the clan group. Yeah, he was the first one that invited me to came to Klang to share. And it came from that Andy, your good friend, Andy. So indirectly, there are affinity and condition. Hey, Brother Gan, where are you? Oh, it's with you. Today change offerer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You should rejoice. Now, one more time. Come, Brother Chua. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Rejoice. Then when he offer, you rejoice again. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. My nature to rejoice. It has been a good session. Not only human want to listen. Up there a lot want to listen. So this one is hopefully, you can develop the understanding, then you can progress very fast. Because when you cultivate with understanding, your cultivation becomes different. You don't have to become gullible anymore. You don't have to waste your time doing all those things without understanding. Most people just follow. They never investigate, inquire, and find out. If you don't have the big picture of what the teaching is, and what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, you just go into it blindly. I tell you, I wish you good luck. Because very difficult. When you don't understand what this teaching is, and what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, and what he stressed on, there is no way you can start, I tell you. You can only become gullible. Chase after this, chase after that, listen to this, listen to that. Then try this, try that. That's why you are not focused. You try everything. Finally, like Brother Gan at the dinner, he told me. Brother Gan, you remember? So many methods. You have what? Pa'au method. Some more? I forgot already. You named 3 or 4, I think. Mahasi method. Then, some more? Goenka method. Then, all these methods make him very confused, is it? I said, sure, confuse. Because you don't understand the essential teaching. The essential teaching is wisdom free. You understand? Nothing else free you. Always remember, except wisdom. So meditation is not the method and the technique. Understand? These are only skillful means to train the mind, to develop sati. But they fail to understand that it's to develop sati. What they want to do is, they say, this mind think a lot, heedless. I want to tame this mind. That's why they go into all the various technique and method and calm the mind down, force it into stillness. And mainly thought-based energy field. That's why you have to find out what the teaching is all about. Why he said the first enlightenment factor is a T? Why he never say jhana, concentration and all those things? Then through jhana, investigate Dhamma. He never say that. He said through sati, investigate Dhamma. Understand? That's why don't be gullible. Then put it to test. Don't even have to believe the Buddha. You can put it to test. It will stand up to investigation. Because you have to live life. To live life, you need a free mind with wisdom. Not a zombie, a very powerful, concentrated mind. That one cannot live life. That one become one-sided. You tend to go into seclusion. Not to say seclusion is bad. There are times you need to go into seclusion to train yourself, to develop your own understanding. Seclusion is good for people who understand. But if you run away from society and go into what they call seclusion, like a hermit, then if that is your choice, well, you have the freedom of choice to choose. But the real meditative training that the Buddha teaches, you have to have the understanding. And yet, you can go back to society and live life. That's why if the Buddha is only peaceful when he meditates or in a retreat, he is not the Buddha. He is peaceful in the midst of life, in whatever state that he is in. Okay? So with that, we should end already, getting very late. Yeah. Okay, sadhu.
I think that you all would generally know that for the present year, there's no observance of Vasa due to last minute changes. So Reverend Sada is in Aman Perdana. That one is known as Tiratana Vihara. So every night he'll be having chanting there, and also where you have the conditions can also go and participate in the offering of breakfast and lunch dana, and also for those who would like to have your blessed water or what you call religious articles to be blessed, please take along to go to Tiratana Vihara at Aman Perdana. Okay? And I think that you all know where the location is. It is not difficult. Alright. And if you need to find out, clarify, you can ask me afterwards. Alright. And before we end these sessions, please take note again later on, have your refreshments before you go back. Okay, we'll now share merits.
We'll do the sharing of merits, starting with the devas. Aka sata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana itta wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hon tu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hon tu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hon tu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina. Mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva, and all the other worthy ones.
Thank you.